B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Szolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brad Stevens will join us at 11:20. That's just 15 minutes from now. Celtics getting ready for the playoffs as well. Kyrie Irving spoke with the media yesterday and was very reflective, as he's been many times recently, reflecting on the entire season, what it means to be a pro, being a star, being a leader, all things that we know keep Kyrie Irving up at night. So he spoke yesterday.
So much mentally into it.
And right. Hardy, you've got the sound of what he said. I do. Let me get to that.
All right, here we go.
All right.
What do you got, bud?
A lot of bullshit.
Oh, hey.
That's like one of our callers. That's like our main callers.
How's your season, Kyrie?
A lot of bullshit.
Okay.
A lot of diarrhea.
I concur, actually. When I hear Kyrie Irving say that, I go, Yeah, that's accurate. That's absolutely accurate.
Just so we know, are we going to have the bouncing basketballs at like full volume throughout this entire thing?
It's not that bad. Okay. It's not as bad as some of them.
Okay.
A lot of bullshit. A lot of just up and downs that just could have been handled better from a professional standpoint, personal. And I'm talking about me personally. I'm not talking about our team. And it's just... I had a lot of questions, a lot of just
Did you get your answers? That's my, he had so many questions throughout the course of the year and going into the year. I just hope that they were answered at some point,
What type of questions do you think he had?
I don't know, like maybe the shape of the earth. Maybe we got a definitive answer or not. Maybe if
I'm guessing these are more basketball related questions, but I don't know what questions he would have been asking.
Just go play. Jesus. Questions.
A lot of just things that weren't being answered straight up about what it takes to be a great professional in this league. And
Timeout. You won a championship in Cleveland. Like, did you forget about that? How to play in this league and what it takes and the type of shots you needed to hit in game 7 against Golden State? Golden freaking State? Did you forget about all of that? You don't know what it takes to be a professional basketball player? You're one of the top 10 in the league? This guy's loopy, man. Stop thinking. What are you thinking about?
I'd like to put this in some context, I'm going to let you continue to play it.
You know, and it's just, I had a lot of questions, a lot of just things that weren't being answered straight up about what it takes to be a great professional in this league. And I think that the frame of that is just outdated. In terms of what you have to be every single day, and it's not that hard, you know what I mean? Like the media and all the stuff that comes with it. I think that it's an exciting part of that that you got to be aware of, but the real part is just, you know, literally what I used to wake up every single morning to do, and that's to put a ball in the hoop and be really great at it.
And you say questions and that weren't being answered, do you mean of yourself?
I would say just goals that I had, questions of, you know, what I was capable of doing. And I've always had the answers, and I just looked in the wrong places. And
I'm starting to get the ice cream headache.
I know that there's a lot of words here.
I don't like when he speaks. I really don't anymore.
Okay, I think this is his way of admitting what you have just accused him of, overthinking things. I think that's what he's saying. I overthought things.
I like your assessment.
I should have just simplified things. I should have focused more on just, as he said, putting the ball in the hoop. It's not that hard to lead. It's not that hard to deal with the media. These are all things that he said in this clip. I overthought it. I should have just focused on playing well and not overthinking all the other stuff.
Right. Now, I
think he's telling you. I think he's admitting in a long-winded way, in Kyrie fashion.
That was over-explaining it.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
I overthought things, and I overcomplicated things, and I just needed to simplify things, and I didn't. Right. That's my interpretation of what he said.
But instead of saying that, he's saying...
A lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so far.
I'll throw that out. I'm going to swear first. Then, you know what? I'm going to be real eloquent after that. A lot of boo, you know what? But you know what?
All right. Well, let's hear...
Questions weren't answered.
Let's hear...
I was looking for, but...
Well, he said he had a lot of questions, and then he kind of answered it. He said, I was, you know, it's easy. You know, I know what it takes to be a great basketball player and dealing with the media and should be having fun with it. And not, I think he, as you said, Beetle, he's reflecting on saying I was obsessing about the wrong things.
I mean, he's taking blame is what he's doing.
Let's go back and listen to the last 20 seconds.
I listen to him and I hear him take blame for the BS is what he's saying. I think he's holding himself accountable, and I think he's saying the obvious, which is that he thinks too much. He overthinks things. He should simplify things.
When you say questions and that weren't being answered, do you mean of yourself?
I would say just goals that I had, questions of, you know, what I was capable of doing. And I've always had the answers, and I just looked in the wrong places. And, you know, I think that for my career has been the biggest mistake since I came into this, is trying to get validation for stats or other things that really don't have any validation in my life. And allowing all this to bother me, you know, like all you guys and all the questions.
Okay, that's good.
I've let the outside noise bother me.
I'm admitting you people bug me. Obviously, you people bug me. That's good. At least he's honest there, not feeding you some circulated crap. Statistics, stats, stat-driven league. I just want to hear from him. All I want to do is win, man. Damn stats.
All you guys and all the questions and everything that comes with it is just so irrelevant to what I do on the court and how hard I work every single day. So that's been the biggest lesson I've learned, is the way I want to treat my career going forward, rather than thinking about the last 8 years of what I've struggled with, or, you know, thought I was struggling with. You know, I'm fighting from a deeper place of a lot of my ancestors, a lot of my descendants that have come before me. And
Okay. He was good. He's maybe so good in certain parts.
Maybe.
Then I had all the answers, but I kept searching.
I didn't see that one coming. I did not expect that one.
I don't know where it's going. We're gonna.
Which ship was he? What? The Mayflower? Like, my ancestors were you Mayflower?
Maybe he's talking about his, like, basketball predecessors. I'm not sure. Let me.
Struggle with, or, you know, thought I was struggling with. You know, I'm fighting from a deeper place of a lot of my ancestors, a lot of my descendants that have come before me. And none of this stuff, from the cameras to the system, really matters. You know, we all belong to that system, and you guys ask the questions for a system as well. So, yeah.
Thank you.
And that was it?
What's the question?
He wrapped it up on ancestors?
Did he know?
The PR guy did say one final question. That was the last question. Yeah, Kyrie did wrap up his point.
Maybe he's doing something with Ancestry.com.
Maybe.
It's coming.
You have to work it into casual conversation.
Pilgrims.
I think he's talking about other players. Other great players in the league. I think that's what
he wants you to be a thinker.
Rather than thinking about the last 8 years of what I've struggled with, or, you know, thought I was struggling with. You know, I'm fighting from a deeper place of a lot of my ancestors, a lot of my descendants that have come before me. And none of this stuff, from the cameras to the system, really matters.
System.
You know, we all belong to that system, and you guys ask the questions for a system as well.
System.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Descendants can't come before you, but I understand what he's...
Right.
I don't understand.
Have you ever struggled with the questions when you've ever had the answers?
I know that Kyrie...
I have an appreciation for that.
Kyrie has become more in touch with his Native American ancestry, right? We've read about that. He's talked about that a little bit. But
oh, that's right.
Yeah, I don't know what that had to do with the season, but okay.
I just have...
I didn't see that was a curveball there.
I have a lot of respect for people that could continue to ask the questions when they do already have the answers.
I mean, but how do Celtics beat writers factor into this, you know, the
system?
You're
the system.
Part of the system. You know, this system of asking questions and obsessing over statistics. So I don't know that he is talking about, like, ancestral type of.
It might be basketball related. I don't know.
I don't know.
God, he makes you think.
I don't know.
I thought it was good. I think it means that Kyrie's playing with a free mind. He's not bogged.
He doesn't sound.
No. Nope.
He sounds like he's still in his own head.
I'm being dead serious. I think if you listen to him there, if he means what he says and he's being honest, he's minimizing the BS, the outside stuff, and he's just focusing on playing well.
You think this part sounds like a guy who's minimizing the outside BS?
You know, I'm fighting from a deeper place of a lot of my ancestors, a lot of my descendants that have come before me. And
I like the first answer. Give me the first answer again.
Sounds like there's a lot going on in there still.
I think there's less going on in there than what was going on a month ago.
I don't know. I think we got a lot of audio there, but I think it'd be easily summed up with his first answer right out of the gate. Give me the first answer again.
Oh, can you? Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
A lot of bullshit.
There you go. I think there you go. This year's been a lot of bull.
I'm taking it as a positive development on the Kyrie Irving front. We'll talk to his coach, Brad Stevens, of the Boston Celtics, coming up next here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Details. Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, it's only 11:19, which means we're a minute early on Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Minute early. He calls right at 11:20.
He is such a wacko.
This is the game that Tom and I play in the back here when he calls in normally. Over under 11:20 and 10 seconds.
I'm going to go over that. 11:20. Okay.
All right. I'm going to go over only for one reason. We had a time change in the interview.
And
we switched days.
Right.
There it is.
Woo!
Let's make sure it's him.
Of course
it is. Let's make sure that it's the right call.
That's him.
Let's make sure.
That sneaky sucker.
I think it's a different number than usual.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That.
We're good.
All right.
Oh, look at T-Bone. Get this on camera. T-Bone back there chatting up the coach.
He says, hey, coach, how you doing?
All right, good.
Every week.
All right, to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, is with us. Hi, coach.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, coach? Obviously, start with the Marcus Smart information. You spoke after the game. Danny was on with our morning show, obviously, this week. And the perception was, you thought that it was a lot less than, obviously, what it is now, and it's an oblique. When did you get the news?
Yeah, so he had... He wasn't feeling, he felt a little bit better, ironically, what was it, Monday, but did not feel any better Tuesday, didn't feel any better yesterday morning, so we ended up getting another round of tests and imaging, and it turned up that, you know, his injury was obviously worse than initially expected, and so... you know, I don't know how long this means, and I know they put a timeline or a time frame on it. But this is a pretty unique injury, in basketball. And so I think that, you know, we'll see how long it takes to get back. And, but we will obviously be without him, you know, for a while here.
So it was reported that he was in so much pain that an MRI had been difficult. Was that true? Is that an accurate report?
I have not heard that, but that very well could be based on his discussions when we were in Washington with our training staff. But I knew that he was not feeling good as the days went on, and that's obviously why, you know, we needed more information. And, you know, it stinks for him. Obviously, he's down about it, but also We know that he'll work hard and get back as soon as he can. And I don't know exactly how you work on this or rehab this. But I know our sports science people and training staff's on top of it.
What will you miss the most from him while he's out?
Well, I think, you know, we always talk about the next man's got to step up and do what they do best. Nobody is going to be exactly like Marcus Smart. And so we've got to make sure that whoever's in his place for the minutes that he plays defends to the very best of their ability, takes care of all the controllables, takes care of all the details, and then offensively helps put everybody in position to use their strengths individually. And I think that he's the best thing that I think about Marcus's season. You know, obviously he's a good defender. He always has been, but he really did a good job thus far of not forcing the issue offensively. I thought he let the right play come to him more often than not. And I thought his shooting percentages back that up.
Coach, you played Indiana twice in the last week, and I know it's different circumstances as opposed to, you know, a playoff series. Can you take anything out of those games? And I'm sure you know this team, you know, well enough to begin with, but how will this affect, you know, your approach, your rotations? How deep is your bench, you know, going to be in a series without having Marcus there?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how that stuff all works itself out. I mean, I think obviously we've got an idea about how we want to go about it and how we want to rotate, but inevitably the playoffs throw you twists and turns, and you just got to be ready to hit all the different curveballs that come your way. I think that this is a really good team that we're playing against. They're very physical. They're very tough. They have a size and strength at a lot of positions, and they do a great job of rotating their bigs. I think all their bigs that play are awfully good and have posed us problems all season long. And then obviously, you know, their guard play has been excellent. And we've always, you know, we have to be great on the high pick and roll with Collison, with Joseph, with Tyreek Evans, who can go off and go off big if you're not careful. And then Bogdanovich and Matthews and McDermott are guys that keep you on your heels with the way they shoot the ball, the way they can run off screens. They fly off actions. Like, they execute and compete and play at a physical level that you have to match to have a chance for success against them.
Celtics head coach Brad Stevens is with us. So with Marcus out, who would be the favorite to take the spot in the starting lineup? Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, who would you put as the front runner there?
Time will tell.
I tried.
1 o'clock Sunday.
I tried.
Yeah. 1 o'clock Sunday.
Yeah, but I tried.
No, at 12. I'll announce it at 12:42, whenever my official time I have to announounce it is.
God, you stink.
Is there an advantage?
It's such an important thing to talk about.
Yeah, right? I know. Listen, we've talked about starting lineup versus, you know, which groups are on the floor. But do you see that holding back on who will be in the lineup as any sort of, you know, just gamesmanship, competitive advantage, to just keep that under wraps as long as possible?
Well, there's two things about it. Number one is we've got 2 days of practice left. And, you know, I've always thought that you go through practice, you see what looks best, you see what feels best, and you go from there. And then the second part is there's really no reason to announce it. You know, obviously we've got to prepare our team, and whoever starts, whoever comes off the bench, it doesn't really matter, because you're probably making those decisions based on your best opportunities or what you feel are your best opportunities to match up with them and or attack them. And so I think that there's a lot that goes into it. You know, we'll see what happens.
Coach, you're excited to see Gordon here, and I mean that from the sense that it seems like, not that he's turned that corner, but from a health standpoint, from a basketball standpoint, this is what you brought him in here for. He's sort of been the go-to interview guy, and he's handling all that well, just to see how he's going to respond with guys like Al and Kyrie here as you get this thing cranked up.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't even really – I haven't thought twice about, you know, any concerns or anything with that regard. He's a good player. He knows how to play. He is experienced. He's played in the playoffs. He's been a big moment, big game player for as long as I can remember watching him play, you know, even back to high school. So I know that he's excited about the opportunity. He came to Boston for these games, and he came to be a part of this, and I know he's really excited about it, and he's played really well as of late. but we've had a lot of guys play really well as of late, and it's going to have to be a collective group playing to their individual strengths for us to have a chance to have success.
You got any pre-playoff superstitions you go through? Like, you guys go to a certain restaurant, maybe you'll hit on Saturday or anything?
Nope.
No.
Nothing. Sorry.
Jeez.
You know?
You're like a robot. You're such a robot, like right down the middle, man. That's good.
You know what? There's so much work to do.
Yeah.
That you've got to – I think the biggest challenge of a coach is – you know, we get ready for the playoffs, and you've got to hone in at a different level on your opponent, and you've got to make sure that your preparation is sound. But I think a big part of preparation is keeping the message simple and making sure that we all leave here on one page every day after we practice. We know exactly what we need to do on both ends of the floor, and then we can play the game with a clear mind and fresh legs. And I think that that's really important. Basketball is a unique game. There's a lot of random parts to it. And so, you know, my old boss used to tell me that we have to do a ton of work to create a simple message. And that's kind of where me and my staff are right now, and making sure that, you know, as we go through practice yesterday, as we go through today, that we're not wasting time on our legs, that we're making sure we're as efficient as possible, doing what we need to do, because we're going to need all the energy we can get for Indiana.
I know that the other day you said that Jason Tatum's MRI came back completely clean, and then it was just sort of a matter of how he felt. How is he feeling? Is everything good on that front?
Everything's good on that front, which is good, obviously. You know, that was a scare in the moment, but it was actually a result. It sounded like of a contusion that he had prior to even shoot around on Sunday. So kind of a unique set of circumstances. When he came down and started limping off, obviously you don't like to see that. And then later in the game when Smart, you know, is hurt, it's brutal, especially the last week of the season as these guys are all, gearing up for the playoffs, but that's part of it. And we have to be ready to pick up for guys that are out. And, it doesn't sound like we're going to have any issues with having Tatum available.
All right, Coach. Appreciate your time as always. Best of luck in the series.
All right, Coach. Thanks, good luck. Get that place rocking. All right.
Brad Stevens. Ready. Landline today. That's what that was. Landline.
That's not a landline.
What? Really? So the receiver being hung up wasn't on a landline? That was a cell phone
app you could download for that. Hold on. Okay,
when you put that cell phone back into the brick that holds it, yeah.
The old-fashioned car phone?
There's an app, did you say, that gives it that sound?
Yeah. It's like an app for everything. Like I cut your legs. See, I cut my hair.
Oh, these are the apps that people got when the iPhone was brand new, that they would mess around with stuff like this. That's great. That's really
nice
great.
App, huh?
That's nice.
It doesn't work.
Right.
Stupid phone.
What is? No. We're not stopping. What is that app that you have? That is a shaver.
The yellow kids, okay, at home. It is a shaver, as you can tell. Hey, you can zoom in on it. It is a watch. You want to freak your kids out? I love messing with my kids. The dog, you got the puppy. Get Scout. Scout will be petrified. Like, yeah. My kid, no, you cut again, my hair.
Again, the apps that were all the rage when the iPhone was brand new. It's like, look at the lighter. You shake the phone and the lighter opens and the flame goes back and forth.
That's awesome, dude. That's great.
Of course he has that app.
My kid hates it.
Of course he does.
That might be a good way for the Celtics to loosen the mood, though. If Stevens ever came up behind a player, did that, the place would lose it because it'd be so unlike him.
But it's from Jackass. Remember in Jackass, they'd actually have the shaver and like they'd zap some guy's head up the back like a big strip. Yeah.
Goes up to Aaron Baines' man bun and does
that. It's
your
God-given right as parents to screw with your kids that way. I mean, we earned it.
Find me that app where it sounds like you hung up a real phone when you hang up your cell phone. I'd like to see that one.
Can you save Zoe saying he likes to mess with his kids? Because he sounded just like Jiminy Glick when he said that.
I like to mess with my kids.
Artie has headlines.
What's the matter with you?
There is some news on the... Is that a horrible Jim Loth sound effect?
You know what it was? It's like half a horse going clickety-click, clickety-click.
Artie has headlines. I also need to mention this. Celtics fans of all ages are invited to tune into Passing the Torch. It's an original special with Celtics legends and current players engaging in a series of candid and illuminating conversations about their lives on and off the court. It features discussions between Danny Ainge and Marcus Smart, Satch Sanders and Jaylen Brown, Bob Cousy and Kyrie Irving. Passing the Torch debuts on NBC Sports Boston and Celtics digital channels this Thursday night. That is tonight at 8:30. So check that out.
Okay? And that's for Celtics fans of all ages.
Of all ages.
Because other specials they've done, only for the young.
Yeah.
For Celtics fans 70 and over, this one's for you. This one, everybody.
And you bring like the 8 and 3-year-olds, and they got Scal interview and Easter Bunny, and is put it all together.
Hardy has headlines. When we come back, the latest on the New England Patriots. They have even more prospects working out for them today. The latest next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports up.
Confetti. Did we keep the other confetti?
Tom Brady in a video yesterday. How you like them apples? Outside of his Brookline home. It is Brookline there, right?
That's his house, yes. His house.
It is technically Brookline.
Yeah. It is Brookline, yeah. Yeah. You fools. You fools taking the bait on this video.
Why is that? Why do you say that? What are we taking the bait on? He comes out of the house. He's picking something out of his helmet. He goes, confetti, look, little piece of confetti.
Look at Daddy's helmet he just took out of his little trunk case. And it's, confetti's still in there from the Super Bowl, guys. Did we keep it from the last Super Bowl? Did we save it? Should I save this or should I just let it go?
No, he said, did we keep the other confetti?
Did we keep the other confetti?
This is why everybody hates you. He's setting you up. He's taking a
dig. Do you think that was staged? Do you think Tom Brady is staging that video?
135%.
Based on what?
When he goes to Costa Rica, he has shoulder pads, helmet, and the bands, and the wrist, and the glove to throw. He wants to simulate everything. He never wants to go out in just skins or just a shirt, no hat, and throw the football.
All right.
Because everything, it's got to be natural to him. He wants it to be second nature. So in Costa Rica, he's got a set of equipment. In Montana, he's got a set of equipment. He's got a set of equipment out west. He's got a set of equipment at the house. More importantly, on game day.
How do you know this?
Guess what,
guys? He told
you
this?
The helmets are kept in-house, okay, because they're the most expensive helmets. The 3 helmets, the quarterbacks, and the 3 on defense that are the signal callers.
He's Tom effing Brady. If he wants to take his helmet home, he takes it home.
It's the hardware that's encased inside the helmet.
It's
the batteries. It's the electronics that they take.
You know something, Zoe? I thought it was a little weird that he had his helmet at the house.
Look at this. Well, he has helmets at the house. He has multiple helmets.
That his game helmet.
There are two. Two other helmets visible in the video if you look closely. They're both on the ground right next to the little porch.
Yeah.
There are 2 other Patriot helmets sitting on the ground.
Maybe one's for Edelman and for Gronkowski, the other 2.
So he has multiple helmets. He's got 3 of them right there at his house that we can see. Is it possible that these helmets were in an equipment bag that he brought home from the stadium that it was also at the Super Bowl or something?
Well, I thought he was in New York and he couldn't go to the Red Sox thing. He's in Brooklyn.
Well, that
was 2 days ago. That was Tuesday. Wow. Yesterday was Wednesday. I know you've had issues with those days recently, the Tuesday-Wednesday thing.
That's crazy.
I know you've had a little bit of an issue figuring out which is which.
Source.
I just don't know why
you're so ready to accuse Tom Brady of being a fraud.
Ooh.
Of putting out a fraudulent video, staging a video to make
Tom
it look
Brady
like he casually picked a piece of confetti out of his helmet.
His people released the TB Times with him as a Minotaur. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, so why do you hate Tom Brady?
That doesn't require Tom Brady to be an actor. I can't believe
I'll play tight end for him.
I mean, you
You can hang my ass out right down the middle.
You love Tom Brady. We all do.
Yeah.
You love him more than most. And here you are saying this man has committed consumer fraud by putting out a video to pump himself up and prop himself up as if he needed that.
No, no.
And that and it's this fraudulent.
He knows everybody here likes him and loves him and adores
that
him,
he's
right?
That he's an actor. Jim, that he is not an authentic individual, that he is acting because he likes to promote himself, because he is self-consumed, you've said.
I can't believe
what I'm hearing.
Or maybe this is reactionary to the first-round type quarterback talent that they have in town. Like, you know what? Oh, look who's here. I might just go out in the yard and throw because
I watched the video, Hardy. By the way, that's kind of neat.
Super Bowl confetti in my helmet.
Here's what I wanted to know, though. Here's a couple questions I had.
He's doing
this
to stick it to the rest
of the
league.
Hold on. Couple questions. Yeah. One, why were they filming this to begin with? Why was a camera rolling at that specific time?
Ben was rolling on it.
No, I want to know. Is there something else in the works?
Could be.
Tom V.
There's been
time.
A few of these, though. There's been a few of these little things.
Right. Well, there's a lot of filming going on. I mean,
it's
I don't
the
know.
Same people he's always with, man. You see him in the background.
I don't know if this is Truman Show. Again,
we
second
were at
Truman
Warrior.
Show
he had a camera crew go down to Warrior to tape Chara, remember?
Sure.
And then Chara was in part of that playoff hype video.
So this is my question. Do they just tape every moment of Tom Brady's life? Tom Brady walking off his porch into his backyard. They've got a camera rolling at all times.
I guess day
that seems.
That is,
you know what
Brady
that is
football
to me?
Life coming soon?
That's my question. I said, is Tom V. Time Part 2 coming?
You know what that's an indicator to me the season's beginning.
By the way, Tom versus Time was nominated for an Emmy.
It's a Menemy.
For an Emmy.
Hi, Nemo. It's a Menemy.
What did Beatles say? That's a new segment
kids
today.
Are going to school.
It was nominated for an
Come
Emmy,
on,
I saw.
School.
Oh, congratulations. Maybe it's that's sort of giving them the motivation to continue doing it, continue filming. Because I thought, why would they have been filming just this? It was nothing. It wasn't him throwing a football. It wasn't him practicing. It was just him walking out his back door with a helmet in his hand.
They happened
to catch it on film.
He's got his tackified gloves on. He's got the wristbands. That's him going to throw in his backyard. So,
you didn't let me get to my second question. My second question is this.
Yeah.
Why yesterday? What was going on yesterday that prompted him to yesterday afternoon go out into the backyard?
You bring all the quarterbacks in you want. Just remember, I'm the one with confetti in my helmet.
That, to me, is the fun one.
Planted confetti.
Oh, you've got Daniel Jones and Will Greer in town? Yeah, I'm in town, too, and I'm going out to the backyard with my helmet on.
Sheriff's in town.
Like an 8-year-old.
He is. That's great.
It works.
This is what I love.
You know it works.
I love it.
You know it works.
You know that? Just this one little tease.
Here's why it's both
a
blessing and a curse.
Lit a fire under his ass.
Blessing and a curse to be Beetle. You can't look at anything without looking at 19 different layers of stink involved with it.
I love it.
The
both
of you on this one.
No.
You with the planted confetti. You with the, you know what? They've got quarterbacks in that. I'm going to release a video of me going out to have a catch in full pads in April to show them. There's still the old sheriff in town,
and
he's got Super Bowl confetti in his helmet. You little bitches.
I don't think the confetti is staged the way Zoe does. I think it's real. I think the confetti is real. I'm not buying that part. Zoe's going to
an extreme. Would be the
it's
video?
Not
okay,
it's
so
not locally, this is a nationally staged thing. This is
to Zoe's
sticking
point,
it up the league.
How do they release that video? What video do they release if there isn't confetti falling out of the helmet? That was the whole video. The whole video is confetti falling out of the helmet. So unless they were going to do that, how are they going to release something today or yesterday without having it seem obvious?
You just have it be an actual football activity. You have
Hardy,
him walking out the door.
It's social media.
It's a 10-second clip.
It's all crap.
10-second clip. You put that helmet on.
It's
you go out. You
acting.
Throw the ball.
Look at Kim Kardashian. I got to get something on social media today. What are we going to do?
Now you're comparing him to a Kardashian.
Wow. Wow, Jim calls him a Kardashian.
Okay, I'll call him Will Greer's brother.
Will Greer's brother,
who's an Instagram star. They all do it. You have to come up with content constantly.
You couldn't be pissed at a quarterback and come to the sideline and fling your helmet like most people get pissed or slam it because there's always a guy standing there. Give me the helmet. We have to baby the inside of it. This is so sensitive. Do you know how much
I've seen you wearing
it
your
is,
helmets. You took your helmets home.
Yeah, you buy them at the end of the year.
I've seen you in compromising positions with those helmets on.
Right. And my sister, yes. And do you want...
What?
Yes. Well, Heather and I used to put the helmets on and we'd go in the pool and slap each other around.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. As long as it was horseplay.
Horseplay. It's horseplay in the pool.
True or false? Compromising positions.
Have you seen Zoe on the toilet with his helmet on? I have. I've seen that.
I've seen far more than I'm willing to discuss.
Never again.
But, Beetle, you can't have it both ways.
Not out again.
You can't have it both ways. You can't say.
Bad spot for a mirror, by the way.
Terrible spot for a mirror.
Compromising position. Yeah, my sister. No, stop.
She stop doesn't everything. Come out. I said, I'll put the picture out there.
Okay. Just don't.
Slap each other around.
Beetle, you can't have it both ways.
Okay.
You can't have the confetti
fine
be legit and have the video being put out there on that day for a reason.
I mean, I think I can. They're two separate matters.
Oh, no, all they're not.
Committing to filming a video on a specific day is not the same as taking it all the way of being a complete fraud
not committed,
and
not,
planting confetti in your helmet.
Not filming, releasing the video on a specific day.
Oh, I think it was filmed yesterday. Right, the weather matches.
You have to admit that at least he knew if it was real, he saw the confetti in the helmet and said, we should film this. Yeah. And then faked it.
Yeah. I can get on board with that.
Sure.
Hey, this is something. This is good. We can film this. It's confetti. Because
Alex is standing here with him with both hands on the football with the fake Tom Brady laugh. Give me the fake Alex Guerrero laugh again. Come on. You're such a card.
Did we keep the other confetti?
Hey, did we keep the other confetti from the other five Super Bowls? Suck it, league.
Hey, who's having a workout today with the Patriots, Jim? You just told Zoe and I a few minutes ago.
Tight end out of Iowa? Not T.J. Hockenson.
Noah Fant.
Hunt.
Is it Fant or Font?
Font.
I go Fant.
I go Font.
Yeah, it's Fant.
Font.
Noah Fant is in Foxborough for a workout with the Patriots today. That is a tight end. That is a tight end prospect. A day after the Patriots signed Austin Seferian Jenkins. Our thoughts on that signing next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Solak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six 717-779-0985 Zolak and Bertrand on this Thursday.
My head jack.
What's that called? Yeah.
Your head jack?
Mm-hmm. It's not working.
Can you hear us?
I put it over here.
Jacked it into that one.
You jacked it?
I don't know. No Red Sox game last night. Kids can't eat today. At least Betts got one the other day. Red Sox back at it tonight. Somebody to jack one. My team's got to get it going, man.
I need a couple guys to jack it.
What do you make of Austin?
How many guys you need to jack it?
Austin Seferian Jenkins.
I think he's a good pass-catching tight end. For what they got him for, no-brainer. It's minimum, league minimum. He killed you in the pass game every time we faced him, whether it was with the Jets. You had problems handling with safeties, with underneath guys.
So
most recent one was Jacksonville last year.
Can I stop
year.
You before we keep going quickly?
Sure.
Is it a league minimum?
I thought it said minimum. I thought Reese had it as minimum.
Okay. And just want to double check that.
Yeah, that's why I'm like over the top, like, okay, so he's not holding out for money. I'm shocked it's league minimum. I thought Reese had that.
We'll look it up.
Okay.
Because that makes it even better.
If not, it's on me, because that's a no-brainer. 1 year, I think it's a one-year league minimum. Okay. And he chose to come here over Seattle. So he chose to play with Brady over Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, and that crew. But that doesn't make sense, though, because one team would offer more money if you wanted the player more. You had trouble covering him in years past. You couldn't handle him down in Jacksonville. I think he caught a touchdown on you against Jacksonville. I think it was a play, actually, Patrick Chung got dinged on, had the head injury. Was down and tight. It was early in the game. It was right before the half. It was that touchdown right in front of us, right before the half. I got so pissed off. He's a better pass-catching tight end than Dwayne Allen. Dwayne Allen could block his ass off, so I don't know if this guy can block. I haven't watched him in depth enough to tell you that he's a good blocking tight end. I think he could just be one of those finesse guys, and they do need one of those.
Basketball player. He played basketball at Washington while he was playing football.
Okay. So
more athletic guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that you lacked opposite Gronk. Oh, yeah, there he is right there on NBC Sports Boston showing the Jacksonville catches. Yep, there's Chung chasing. That's right before the half. Yeah. Good memory, so. Nice. If you got him for cheap, this is good. It's good signing. That's a good body to have in there because you know why? And to what Belichick talked about, evaluating talent, evaluating quarterbacks, receivers, the systems they play in, the tight ends, all of that. And not understanding what the college game is as opposed to the pro and how that can't translate or transmit once they become a professional and how hard it is to evaluate those guys. This guy played against you. And Belichick talked about it's easier to evaluate the talent within the league or free agents because we can look at how we would play them versus our opponents that are common opponents that these guys played against. And it makes total sense. Okay, so we know this guy can do A, B, C, and D. This is why I was so excited about Dwayne Allen. Dwayne Allen caught how many touchdowns? 10? Like, Gasher, you could cover him up the seam. I'm like, this is going to be great. Gronkowski will take double coverage. We'll go two tight ends, 12 personnel. You're going to catch 10 touchdowns here with Tom Brady. Nah, never happened. Almost broke his ankles every time you threw it to him. This could be a good signing. Now it's, can you get in here and pick this offense up?
Okay, finally found the report. It wasn't Mike Reese. It was Kevin Patra at NFL.com. The Patriots signed Austin Seferian Jenkins to a one-year veteran minimum contract. And that's actually from Rappaport.
That's good.
Rappaport's info.
Okay.
So there you go.
Nice.
A veteran minimum deal. This is a steal.
Yeah.
I actually couldn't really fully understand why he was still out there because of the kind of money that you were talking about. I mean,
okay,
it just tells you, league minimum. He wasn't going to get a lot of money.
Well, he's coming off. He had an injury. He was on
IR. He was hurt last year. He obviously has had some issues in his career. He
then Demaryius Thomas had, who tore his Achilles at the end of the year.
Had a DUI incident in Tampa. That's why Tampa moved on from him, and that's why. And he had a DUI in college, and he's spoken openly about his problems with alcohol, and so it ended his time in Tampa. He ends up with the Jets. I've always sort of liked the player.
It's a player that I know. Which is good to me. Like, okay, I can now sit in here and comment. Like, I know Michael Bennett. Everybody else you signed? I had to look up Pennell. I'm like, okay, I kind of remember Pennell. Is he big? Then you look him up. Oh, he's a big nose tackle. Okay, he's an inside tackle. This guy, you know, they move him around. Athletic.
So I was very much a fan of this move, and then I just found out within the last 5 minutes, thanks to Zoe telling us he had seen that, a veteran minimum deal. This is a no-brainer.
Home run.
No-brainer.
Yeah.
All upside here.
Bring a guy with an actual pulse that you know.
No downside to this move. None.
I like
Even
it.
If he doesn't work out, doesn't have a good camp, can't come back from injury, whatever, there is no downside to making this signing. Upside only with this signing.
Yep.
So I think it's great. I also don't think it should stop them from going into the draft and getting more at the position.
No, it shouldn't. No. But see, I think the reason you have a guy like Noah Fanton for the visit is I think you know everything about Hockenson. Hockenson's a surefire number one tight end. Everybody who, if you're going to go with tight end in the draft, that's going to be the first guy off the board. Probably don't have to do that much homework on him. He stood out at the combine. You probably absorbed as much as you needed to absorb there. Now you get Noah Fanton and say, okay, we did our homework on Hockenson. If he goes, and we definitely need tight end, can this guy fit here? That's why he's in.
Kiper McShay doing their mock drafts. Both have him going in the top 10, Hockenson.
Hockenson, you won't touch him. So Bill already told you there's no way we can move up from 32 to 8.
So there's rumors about Detroit taking him. There's rumors about
Detroit wanted Gronk.
If he falls past Detroit, maybe Flacco and the Broncos taking him. Flacco likes throwing his tight ends.
He'd be a good Bronco with him. A little stick route, a little curl. Nice. That's a good pickup for them if they get him.
So the other point being Demaryius Thomas.
As a what? As a 4 or 5? The good old Dorsett role from last year? The guy you're going to bring in to run a slip screen? That's what I'd do with him. Personally, I've seen him tap out of games. I've called games against him where your number two DB, not even your number one, your number two corner, your number three corner, can get in his face, be physical with him, and take him out of a bug. I've seen him shut it down. But could he run a slip screen? And you know what I'm talking about, right down the line of scrimmage. He's one of the best in the league at running that. Killed it at Denver. It's his go-to route. Can he bring him in and spot him like that, like Cordarrelle Patterson? And what's that going to cost? Supposedly it's a 7 month. He's 7 months out on recovery with the torn Achilles. And maybe we'll be ready to go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.